Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rather. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this morning we looked at basically verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, I want you to, we're going to be looking at verses 4, and I don't know how far we'll get this afternoon, if we'll get through the end, through verse 11 or not. But the Apostle Paul has reminded the people as we looked this morning of the fact that there's coming the great day of the Lord, where God's judgment comes. And we talked about the fact that the day of the Lord is always God's hand of judgment coming against those that are in opposition to the Lord, and it deals with the nation of Israel. We know that God's plan, once the church is raptured, is to turn, he turns his attention fully to Israel again, and Satan turns his attention to Israel as well, seeking to destroy her. And the Lord's hand of judgment comes against a world which is coming against God by trying to destroy Israel. And we looked at the day of the Lord a little bit this morning, also some of the events that are going to be leading up to the Great Tribulation, and which would occur either right before or right after the rapture of the church. And this afternoon, I want us to look at what the Apostle Paul, he comes with another but. But means he's changing directions again. That's a but is a conjunction. It's he's continuing, but he's going in a different thought. And the thought he's going to this afternoon is, but ye brethren are not in darkness. He wants us to remember our position in Christ and the importance of that position. We are not in darkness. We're in the light of the Lord. Let's just read verses 4 through 11. And then we'll be taking a look at some of these verses this afternoon. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Let's just pray. Father, as we come before you, Lord, help us to understand our position in Christ. Help us to understand the importance of our calling in Christ. And help us to walk in your power by your might that we may accomplish your purposes. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that seems to be happening often, we were just talking a little bit about before the service this afternoon, as one begins to look at all of the things that are going on in the world, and if you don't want to listen to the news too often because it can get you down real fast, and you think, what in the world is happening? Everything is, the truth has become something that doesn't exist anymore. Everything has become relative. That which is according to God's word is laughed and scoffed at, and man are turning 180 degrees and going the opposite direction from the Lord as fast as they can. And sometimes, as Christians, we look and we say, well, what hope is there? Well, we have all kinds of hope, and that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand. We are not people of darkness, but rather we're people of light. We're followers of Jesus Christ. We are walking in the day, in the light. Now, this morning we looked at the fact that Paul said that those that are in opposition to God and those that are walking in rebellion to God, the day of the Lord is going to come upon them as a thief in the night. They're not going to understand. Dave Hunt wrote and talked about peace and prosperity that would be coming in the last days. And some people said, well, there's all these things that Jesus foretold. How is that peace and prosperity? And yet at the same time, what do you hear people talking about all the time? Peace and prosperity. Francis Schaeffer said one of the main problems the church had is that they were willing to give up truth just so we could have peace and continue to be prosperous. And he was really right in that many people are not willing to take a stand for truth and a stand for the gospel because persecution is coming. And it already is in many places in the world and has been since Jesus came and died on the cross and was buried and rose again from the dead on our behalf. Satan has persecuted those who would follow him. But we see that the persecution is going to intensify, but what should our response be? Well, our response should be that we don't have to worry about the tribulation. And we don't have to worry about the judgment of God. Because we aren't children of darkness. And Paul reminds us of that. He says in verse 5, or verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." What day is that day? That is the day of the Lord. We don't have to fear the day of the Lord. I remember when I was a young boy and I'd go and I'd hear people preach on end times and prophecy, I'd get terribly afraid. And I was thinking, oh, that's going to be so awful. It's going to be so terrible. God's wrath and judgment. And I didn't understand. That's for those that hate God, not for those that love Him. God's wrath and judgment will not be poured out upon His bride, His church. And Paul is reminding the people at Thessalonica this. He said, "Remember, I told you about the rapture. I told you about the fact you're going to be caught away." We looked this morning in 1 Corinthians, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be transformed and changed. And they are not going to be the same. No longer will we be marked by the scars of sin from this world, but rather we'll be changed, and we'll be reflecting the very image of Jesus in character, and the fact that we'll have resurrected bodies that will no longer be impacted by sin. So Paul says, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. Why? "Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day." He says, what is the children of the light and children of the day? What does that mean? Well, it means that you and I have been illuminated so that we can understand and see that which is wicked, that which is evil, but we also are able to understand and see that which is truth. And we also know that Jesus has gained victory over sin. He's gained victory over death. He's gained victory over Satan and all the demons of hell, and they cannot stand against Him. He is the author of life. He is the one that has called and redeemed us from our sins. So we no longer have to fear anything. If you're speaking to someone who is dying, what would you tell them? One of the things that I told a friend of mine when she was dying was she didn't have to fear death. If she trusted in Jesus, she didn't have to fear death. And if you look at the fact that when you are facing death, death, like being born, dying, you do all by yourself. There's nobody there to be with you. And when you die, you enter and are transported from this life to the next. And the only one that is there for you, if you're a believer, the Lord is there. And it says the Lord will be there with us, and He'll give us His angels to be with us and help us to go through death. But if you aren't the Lord's, what are you facing? You're facing an uncertainty and a judgment. You don't know where you're going. And people laugh. Just last week, as I mentioned, I believe on Wednesday night, someone was sharing with me that they had a friend, and their friend never wanted to hear anything about the gospel. And they said, "I'm going to be the one driving the bus to hell. Ha, ha, ha." And making it a light of it, making it a joke, like that's some big thing. And I shared on Wednesday also how that you probably all have had friends that say, "Well, I want to go to hell because that's where all my friends are. We'll party all the time." They have no idea. Why? Because they're children of darkness. They do not understand the truth. They don't understand what is righteous. They don't understand holiness. They don't understand judgment. They don't understand the fact that God, if He is righteous and just, must judge rebellion and sin. And there are consequences and penalties for rebellion and sin. And that He has created an eternal lake of fire that those shall be condemned to who refuse to accept the gift of salvation that's in Christ Jesus. A free gift. But they do not accept because they're of darkness. And Paul says, we're not of darkness. We're of light. We know the truth. We've been set free. We've had our eyes opened, our ears unstopped, our hearts transformed, and so that we are now the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Now, what is darkness? When the Bible's speaking of darkness here, it's talking about evil and wickedness. And it's interesting, if you look at when does most evil take place? In the dark. In preparing for this, I was looking at one of the commentaries, and he said, you know, you never hear about people going to the day club spend some time together with their friends. No, they go to the nightclub where they drink and they gamble and they do all kinds of things that the Lord, not only is an abomination to the Lord, but is destructive to their own relationships and destructive to their own bodies. But it's the nightclub. And you go out and people, the most robberies, most crimes occur in the dark. Why? Because Satan loves the cover of darkness. He doesn't want the light to really allow things to be shown for what they really are. If you've ever been, and I've had to go in because of my work to go in and with broken windows or whatever, to go into some places that are like a bar or a off sale, and you got to go in because you've been called to replace this window, and you go in there in the day, and it's kind of totally different. There's a stench, and it's just an ugly place, and at night it's all covered up. And they usually have glittering lights, and they have whatever to make it appear to be something that it's not. And that is sin. That is Satan. He constantly is trying to deceive us, trying to get us to think that something that is evil is really good, and something that is good is really evil. And that's the children of darkness. They have been deceived. They've been drunken with the spirit of this world. And so they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. In other words, they are overcome in the darkness of this world, in the sin and the rebellion, and they don't even see where it's all heading to. People say they want freedom, but they want freedom to do what they want when they want to. That's not freedom, that's license. And they don't understand that that true freedom comes in walking in the power and the authority of God and doing His will. That's where freedom exists, because that's where we find things like love, joy, peace, hope, the things that are the characteristics of His Spirit. And yet people think they've got freedom, and they don't, because in darkness they've been deceived. He says, but let us who are of the day, and then he tells us things that we need to do. First of all, he says that we're to be sober. We're to be sober. What does it mean to be sober? Well, one of the marks of being sober is to be in your right mind. When you're inebriated or intoxicated, something else is controlling your mind. You as a person are not controlling your mind. Dave Hunt used to talk about the fact, he said, the brain is really just an organ, and the brain can't generate one thought. He said, you are the one that generates the thought, and you use your brain to cause it to function, to store memories, to store thoughts, to get your body and your mouth and things to do certain things. But you're the one that's controlling your brain. You're the one that's controlling, unless you've got some disease and can't control. But I'm waving my arm. I'm telling my arm to wave. My arm just isn't waving by itself. That's me telling it to wave. I'm gesturing. And that's us. We're in control of our mind. But what happens when we give our mind over to another, then we're no longer in control. That's what happens when you're drunk. When you are drunk, alcohol has caused your mind to be under the control of a different spirit. Likewise, when you're using drugs, drugs cause your mind, you not to be in control of your mind, another spirit. We know from Scripture that there's a correlation between drugs and alcohol and the demonic realm. The Scriptures tell us that. And so whenever you give your mind and flood your mind with drugs and alcohol, your brain rather, is no longer you controlling it, but you're opening it up to others to control, and really Satan himself. Well, we see here that we're to be sober, we're to be clear-minded, we're to understand the day and the hour in which we live. Why should we? Well, as you look around us, we shouldn't be overwhelmed by the circumstances. I was really interested in listening to Mr. Condon speak about Russia and Gog and Magog and give that message. He says that on his website he's got 5 hours dealing with that whole topic. I only listened to an hour of message because on my website you can hear all 5 hours. I didn't do that number. It was very interesting. I love this day. It opens up why things are happening the way they are, and it also says that God's got to be God because he foretold this thousands of years ago, before there even was a Russia, when it was Gog, the leader of Magog, and when it was Persia and not Iran, and yet he foretold all these events. He foretold Israel would come back into the land after it had been dispersed for a long period of time, and yet it would come back as one nation, not two. He foretold that in the last days there would be Aliyah from around the world as people came back to Israel that had been dispersed after Israel became a nation. He foretold all these things thousands of years ago. God exposed that he is God. He knows that he's going to come in. We should be sober. We should be able to discern and dissect God's word with the power of his spirit so that we in turn can encourage others and encourage them to come to know Jesus Christ. So he says here, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunken are drunken in the night. And let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Now, here he's talking about armor again. The last time you see this in one of his letters, the letter to the Ephesians, he talks about the whole armor of God. And here he's just talking about a breastplate and a helmet. But they are two of the most important things because the breastplate protects the vital organs. If you were a Roman soldier, and Paul knew all about the Roman soldiers because he was in prison and tied to one of them, and he could see their armor daily. He knew that they had a breastplate. The breastplate was important in battle because when you went into battle, if you didn't have a solid breastplate, you would probably be dead fairly early in the fighting. The breastplate protects your internal organs and those that are vital. Your heart, your liver, your lungs are protected by the breastplate so that the enemy can't get his sword and run you through easily. And he says, we have a breastplate, and our breastplate that protects us is a breastplate that gives us two things. He says here in Thessalonians, there is the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love. What do we have faith in? Well, we have faith in that Jesus is our Redeemer and Savior. We have faith in the fact that Jesus is the creator of all things. We have faith in the fact that Jesus is coming again as a thief in the night to judge a wicked and vile world that's in total rebellion to him and will not turn back to him. We have faith in Jesus that he has overcome death and sin. We have faith in Jesus that he's greater than Satan and all the demons of hell. And we know from the scriptures that at his very presence, they tremble. When Jesus walked on the earth, and it says that he had emptied himself to a degree of power, and when he came and walked as a man, yet when the demons saw them, they knew him. And they begged him, if you remember, when the man who was possessed by the multitude of demons, and Jesus was casting them out, and they begged him not to send them, be bound before their time, and asked to be rather allowed to go and inhabit a herd of swine? Why, they knew who had control. Jesus, not the demons, even though the people around there, they thought the demons had control. No, it was Jesus who trembled at his sight. It says in the scriptures that the demons have, they believe in Jesus and tremble. Why? Because theirs is not a saving faith, but they know who he is. Why? They're fallen angels, and they were in the presence of Christ. They were there when Satan had been created by God along with them to stand before the Lord and worship him. And Satan had been created to be the leader of that. They had been there. They'd seen it. They'd seen God and Jesus in all of his glory. And so they know who he is. And so we have faith in this Jesus, that he is greater than any foe that can stand against us. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 speaks of this very thing. Why we should not have fear, but rather be men and women of hope. Because what do we have to fear? Can anything come against us? And then he lists everything and every possible circumstance. And there's nothing that can come against us in Christ. And so he says we are people who put on the breastplate of faith and also the breastplate of love. And the breastplate of love is a twofold breastplate of love. One, it shows us the love of God for us. How much did he love us? He loved us that in spite of who we were, in spite of the fact that we were sinners, Jesus came to and went to the cross, died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead to take away our sins and take our sin upon himself and pay the penalty for us, because we could not pay it for ourselves. The depth of his love for us. The scriptures also tell us that that love should flow through us and that we should show his love to others. And Paul is telling us, as children of the day, we should be men and women who walk in faith and walk in love, and likewise, in that love, himself in proclaiming God's truth and the gospel to those who do not know him. He says here, for God hath appointed us, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. We have a hope. Paul, when he wrote to Titus in Titus 2:14, says that we have a hope. We have a hope, and that hope is in Jesus Christ. We have a blessed hope, he wrote to Titus. It's a blessed hope. And that we, as you look around the world, and you look at the people, I look at our former presidents that are still alive. Some of them are not in the greatest health. Jimmy Carter has got brain cancer, and in his 90s. George H.W. Bush is wheelchair-bound in his 90s, and not in great health. Had been in and out of the hospital this last year. Clinton, if you look at him, he has aged a lot and doesn't look that healthy. And you sit here and you go, these were men that held the position, one of the most powerful positions in the world. Today, we're helping them. Today, this is right and true. There is no reward at any time. And yet, they were a powerful man at one time. If you look at back in World War II, I remember reading the article where we had F. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Stalin, Churchill, and they gathered together and they were talking about they had these powerful, powerful men. Today, they're all dead. Today, none of them have any influence directly outside of things they may have taught others, but the direct influence they can't come to. Today, Jesus is there to have a hope. And we also have a hope, as Paul said, that one day we will be raptured. God will be the Lord to rule and reign with him forever. And so we see that we have this hope. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's telling him, you don't have to worry about the day of the Lord. That's why I didn't talk to you about the seasons and the times. Because it's something that, yes, it's good to know, so you can talk to people about it. You should be versed in it. God has given us the promise that's going to happen in the last days. But he's also told us that wrath is going to occur against man is not for us. That's for those who are rebelling against God. But we are people of the day who are saved and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Christ died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And now we're talking about waking and sleeping, going back to the beginning of chapter 4, where he's talking about those who were sleeping, that is, they died, physically died, and their souls were in the presence of the Lord, but physically they died. He's saying whether we sleep or whether we're brought up alive, we will be with the Lord forever, and we have this hope. And wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So we are to encourage one another in Christians. That is why, a couple Sundays ago, I mentioned Dave Hunt's book, Whatever Happened to Heaven. A lot of Christians don't want to think about heaven. I remember hearing people, as I shared with you before, that would make the comment, oh, they're so heavenly-minded, they're so wonderfully good. I would venture to disagree with that statement. I say you can never be any earthly good unless you are heavenly-minded. Unless you understand what Jesus has done, unless you understand where you're going, you will never accomplish what God intended you to accomplish on this earth, because you're going to be restrained by the dark forces of this world and that Satan is manipulating, controlling, that would attempt to stop you from ever sharing the truth with anyone. We need to be heavenly-minded so that we understand where our eternal hope lies. It doesn't lie in the United States of America and its politicians. It doesn't lie in a one-world government driven by the UN. It doesn't lie in some world leader that may come on the scene and say that I've got all the answers. Our hope lies in Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm. One day he's going to call us to be with him, and then we will return with him during the great and awful day of the Lord as he comes to establish his kingdom and judge the quick and the dead. Let's just Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the message that Paul has given to us. And Father, that he has called us to remind us that we are children of the day, not children of the night. And Father, we've been called to walk in the brightness of your glory and to accomplish your purposes and to walk in your power and to proclaim your name. Lord, that we are those that are men and women of hope. Go with us now and help us to have an opportunity to share with others that we can have the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. This we ask in his name, for your sake and glory. Amen.